I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's a mock draft Monday. Excited to be doing it as we do every Monday. I'm reminding myself right now by saying this, but I have a mock draft that will drop on Thursday, assuming I get it done in time. Really nothing else to do around these parts lately, however. If you are trapped in your house socially distancing and being an appropriate adult or a human or non-adult, whatever it is, and staying inside, reminder that you can listen to this podcast on your smart speakers. Just say, hey, Alexa, play the Pick Six Podcast, or hey, Google, play the Pick Six Podcast. I think you have to add podcast as part of that, but you can start and stop listening throughout your work from home day. So check us out on your smart speaker. Pretty freaking awesome. Also awesome. Potentially happening right now as you're listening, or maybe already happened, or maybe it's about to happen. A CBS Sports HQ mock draft, mocktacular, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on Monday. We have like 60 people involved in this. Myself, Ryan Wilson, Pete Prisco will be doing it. Somebody's going to do grades. Jonathan Jones, John Breach. While we're making picks, I caused some havoc at the top of the draft, didn't I, Ryan Wilson?
Yeah, I'm breaking
news.
You
gonna spoil it?
No, the breaking news is I'm doing the grade, so I look very forward to.
Oh no!
Yeah.
So Ryan will be grading all the picks. Josh Edwards joining us.
Sorry to interrupt you introducing Josh, but someone I won't say who texted me offline after we did our group draft on Friday morning, and said, "Why is Will the way he is?"
let's see. Of all the people on the call, it would have to be. It wasn't Brady because he wasn't on the call. Who was it?
Honestly, it could have been any number of people.
Sure.
Given the way things unfolded. But anyway, you were introducing Josh.
Josh, how you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty well. So when you actually did the promo for Alexa, mine actually kicked on and started talking. I don't know if that actually came through in the audio, but that was pretty freaky. It took me a second to figure out what was happening.
Did it start playing the podcast?
I couldn't hear what it was actually saying. I could just hear that Alexa voice coming back at me with something. So it's entirely possible. I don't know. There's so much wind going on right now, too. It's kind of like this little wind tunnel thing that's going on. I get this crosswind going.
In your house?
No, it's – so I'm in the Midwest. The wind is crazy right now. It is like whipping.
Do you have your windows open?
Insanely hard outside the window.
That's kind of – that would always be scary. Like to me, I would get freaked out. We talked very briefly before about Tiger King, and not no spoilers here. I'm only through two episodes. Josh through four. Ryan doesn't watch his kids at all, so he's finished the entire series. There is a scene there where Joe Exotic rides out in a four wheeler and is like staring down this gigantic freaking tornado, and you're like, what are you doing? Why are you out in the I can see that tornado. I know it's wind. I know how fast it's moving. Why are you staring at the tornado, pink cowboy man?
Got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that you say that because that's probably one of the least memorable things that he does. That's how much crazy stuff that he does in this. It only gets – I know you've only been through two episodes. I'm not going to spoil it. It only gets more crazy.
Yeah, my wife and I are watching it together. You gotta have shows during this time. You guys, holding up okay in terms of quarantining and being inside?
Yeah, did a couple science experiments today. My father-in-law ordered us some science experiments.
I saw that. Could you what was the thing that you ordered? I saw that on Instagram. What are you on? Somehow Ryan was like Ryan Wilson 007 on Twitter, and he somehow has Ryan Wilson on Instagram. Like, how did that even happen? How did you get? There's got to be a billion Ryan Wilsons in the world, and you somehow got Ryan Wilson for Instagram. That's really impressive.
Yeah, I get DMs every once in a while or whatever, messages asking me if I want to give away Ryan Wilson on Instagram. Because I knew Twitter wasn't going to ever be anything, so I didn't hustle to that. But apparently I hustled to Instagram. I don't even know when Instagram started.
Wait. Who's asked you? Like other just random?
Other Ryan Wilsons.
Like famous Ryan Wilsons or like other dudes named Ryan Wilson?
Yeah, just other randos. Rando Ryan.
Do you try, are you like, hey man, like sure, like for, you know, $1,000?
No, I don't. As you might be surprised to learn, I didn't respond. I'm not responding to that.
But there's an American wrestler named Ryan Wilson, an ice hockey player, American hurdler, a Scottish rugby union player.
I have been tagged on several Scottish rugby tweets. So yeah, I do know about him as well.
All right. That's how are you hanging there, Josh? Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry, before Ryan, give me the name of the science thing that your father-in-law ordered.
Go look it up. I'd have the box upstairs, but I had not heard of it before. But my father-in-law wanted to see the kids put some stuff together and try to blow themselves up. So I'll find out what it is and let you know.
Oh, that's very helpful. Thank you. Josh, how are you hanging in there?
Pretty well. As I told you guys, probably in the last couple of months, we moved into this new house, which is, you know, no surprise by the lack of wall hangings behind me. But at the same time, I've actually been afforded the opportunity to put some grass seed down this week. Oh. It's been like a really weird, you know, like occurrence where I was actually able to be productive when we're going through a global pandemic.
So wait, I have a question for Josh. Josh, your wife is a nurse, correct?
She's a cardiac sonographer.
So how's her situation?
Like I told you guys before we started this, Ohio, Kentucky has not been hit really hard with all of this to this point. So it really has not impacted her much to this point, but what a lot of these patients are going through is like cardiac failure. So the thought is it may eventually get to that point, but it hasn't affected her to this point. So we're kind of grateful for that.
That is awesome. It's good to hear. Ryan, your oldest son in that picture, you didn't get the box in there, but your oldest son looks quite annoyed as he's having to like interact with his younger brother.
Yeah. He wanted to be in charge. You know, and he's 13 now. My youngest son's 8. Youngest son's super pumped to be doing things. 13-year-old's like, look, man, I just want to go outside and hang out with my friends. Can't do it.
All right. Let's get to some football talk. This is a football podcast. But look, you know, this is a daily NFL. It's a daily NFL podcast, but that means we have a lot of episodes, and sometimes our personal lives will bleed into the content. Or
some people hate it. Some people don't hate it quite as much.
Yeah. Occasionally, a little football talk will worm its way into this show about my life and me complaining about my family. Let's get to Josh. By the way, what are you thinking? Who signs up for a 7-round mock draft? You did a 7-round mock draft. Literally made every single pick. Be honest with us here. I need to know a number. How many prospects were you like, I don't really know who that guy is, but I'm going to give him to some team?
Honestly, there were not really any prospects that I didn't know at this point. I've got a pretty good handle on it at this point, but
that is the correct answer.
It gets very tedious when you start getting into the sixth and the seventh rounds and you're like, man, I already gave this team 2 wide receivers. Let's give them a third, which was an issue for the Giants in this particular case. But when you're taking 2 wide receivers on day 3, you're just kind of hoping one of those guys pans out. So that's my reasoning for those picks.
All right. That's fine with that. Ryan, have you had to do a 7-round mock for this year yet?
Today is Monday. My latest 3-round mock just came out with trades. My 7-rounder comes out next Monday. So I will be following in Josh's footsteps. And I even doing the 3-rounder, you get to the point where like this team has 400 draft picks. What, and they've filled every need in free agency. What in God's name are we going to do with all these extra draft picks? So I may just start trading them, packaging up and trading them until next year, Josh, because I don't know what. I mean, like to your point, how many wide receivers does one team need?
Wow. In your 7-round mock, Josh, I find this interesting, not to, you know, just veer into Tua talk, Tua Tagovailoa, though, if you want to talk about him. Yeah, I got it down now. You got him falling to six, the third quarterback taken to the Chargers after Miami took Justin Herbert at five. Are you, is this like a thought exercise thing you're doing? Cause I like to do thought exercises with my mock drafts. Cause I just find regular old rote mock drafts to be boring as hell. Is this a thought exercise to see how things would play out? Or do you really believe that there's a chance Herbert could go ahead of Tua in this draft?
I think it's possible. I don't think it's likely. I enjoy doing those thought-provoking kind of scenarios as well, which, you know, I've done quite a bit to this point. You kind of have to do it to stay sane. But I did not do any trades in this seven-round mock because I'm not trying to be a hero. Seven rounds is daunting enough, you know. So I did zero trades. And for me, you kind of start struggling, like, who's going to take a quarterback once you get past the Chargers? Where does this fourth quarterback fall? So for me, I just needed to get three quarterbacks off the board there in the top 10 and then figure out where everybody else was going to fall after that.
Ryan, your thoughts on Tua's status these days? I know that you, and to your credit, you've been sort of hitting that drum lightly. That you, the buzz you hear is that the medicals might not be as good as the rosy picture being painted out there. And you've been saying that for a while now. Any update from your sources?
No. In fact, I had forgotten that I had said that, but I do remember the conversation. Yeah. So that was the conversation coming out of the Super Bowl, that there were some concerns about his medicals, but we don't know. No one's seen anything. And since the Super Bowl, where he spoke for half an hour on the CBS Sports HQ set with Prisco and BMAC and Chris Hassel, we saw him at the combine. He seemed very upbeat and didn't have a limp when he walked in. We saw the video he released on the Insta with Trent Dilfer as the quarterback's coach. He ran through those little drills. We saw like 6 or 7 seconds of that. I don't know what to make of that if you're an NFL team. I suppose you can get an independent physical and okay, but I feel like it's going to be all systems go. I feel like he's going to be one of the first quarterbacks taken. Josh obviously has him going third, but if you told me he went second and the Dolphins traded up for him, at this point I would have no choice but to believe you. They tried to bring him in before the NFL shuttered its doors. They got Jordan Love in. They did not get a chance to bring in Tua. So clearly they're interested. I don't know if that's a smokescreen, but I would suspect it's not, since they're not a good football team that needs a quarterback.
Yeah, and you actually had them, Ryan. We're going to talk about some teams that can trade up or down. You have the Dolphins trading up to number three, I assume, to take Jerry Jeudy.
Yep. They took they took Willie Jeudy, Jerry's brother, because they turned in the wrong card. Yeah, so they trade up to three to get Tua. They give up pick number five and their first second-round pick, pick number 39. That's actually pretty rich for going up from two spots. Dolphins obviously go back to five, get 39, but the Lions also send like a fourth-round pick just to make the numbers work out a little better in case, you know, if you look at the draft value chart, it's not exactly a tit-for-tat trade. So that fourth-rounder, that 109th pick, levels it out a little bit. But even if they didn't.
Why were you unwilling then to trade with me as the GM of the Washington Redskins on our mock draft conference call? Why did you decline to give me a reasonable bounty for the number 2 overall pick? All I wanted was 5 and 18, and you said no in front of everybody. You embarrassed me publicly, humiliated me.
Let's be honest, you embarrassed yourself. I'll put this to Josh, and he can be the arbiter. So if you're the Dolphins there at number 5, do you want to trade up to 2, where in my mind the Redskins don't have as much leverage? Let's be honest, they ain't taking a quarterback.
Yeah. Well,
Dan Snyder might. So 5 and 18 to move up to 2?
No, but in all seriousness, like if Ron Rivera is really in charge of this thing and he doesn't like Dwayne Haskins, I mean, and 2 is there.
And 2 is, let's say 2 is, we don't even know how healthy he is, and you're still going to win 3 football games next year. That's the problem. Yeah,
but if you're Ron Rivera and you don't believe in Dwayne Haskins, I don't think they're going to take him. But like, here's the argument: is that if you don't believe in Dwayne Haskins or you're unsure about Dwayne Haskins, then you believe that Tua is a legitimate prospect, you have to make that move. Now, I think there's smoke screening, and I think that Dan Snyder would probably put the kibosh on it. But I mean, Josh, don't you think that the Josh Allen situation and Kyler Murray with the Cardinals to sort of open teams up to the idea that you can just dive right back into the quarterback pool?
Josh Rosen.
Did I say Josh Allen? Josh Rosen.
I do that all the time.
I was asking Josh a question about a player named Josh, and it really confused my brain.
It's understandable. It's totally understandable. But
is it?
Does Washington need – I mean, Washington's got Kyle Allen now too. I mean, do they need a quarterback now? I mean, you know, so no, I would not –
That was a Kyle Allen joke. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. It was – so Ryan asked earlier if I would take number 5 and number 18 in exchange for number 2. And honestly, I would need more if I'm going to trade down out of that position and possibly give up Chase Allen or Chase Young. See, now you're messing with me.
Everyone's out.
To go with Josh Allen. So for me, I would need more to trade down from number 2. But at the same time, I think we're kind of getting through the phase where we've actually believed that Washington might take a quarterback. That was one of the exercises I did early in the process where I gave them to Tua Tagovailoa. But honestly, as time has passed, I don't think that's likely at all. I think it's more likely they just stay put and take Chase Young.
Well, I'll say this quickly. If Tua was 100% healthy, I would take him over Kyler Murray like a year ago if I'm Steve Keim. And in that case, then maybe I'm thinking about it. If nothing else, it gives you more leverage as Ron Rivera. But good Lord, the amount of needs. This team has way more needs than the Cardinals did a year ago, I feel like.
Let me ask you this. What if you draft Tua and then offer to trade him?
Why? Why? Just take Chase Young. You're still not getting Chase Young if you draft Tua.
But if I think you have more leverage at that point, though.
Yeah, you'd be like, hey, listen, we weren't bluffing. We have Tua. He is ours. If you want him, Dolphins, it's going to cost you 4 first-round picks.
Well, you'll have to tune into Mock Draft Monday to see how that unfolds.
Let's quit beating around the bush. This is the Monday podcast. People are like, this is a spoiler. Fast forward 15 seconds if you don't want to find out who I took with number 2 in the Mock Draft special, because I took Tua. I took Tua, and it was a spite play, and I'm going to have to justify it on a freaking TV show on Monday because I was like, all right, this is obvious. I'm at 2. You know, let's figure out how to do a trade. I said, hey, would anybody like to trade? And I gave him 24 hours notice, and we get on a conference call. I was like, Wilson, tell me what you will give me to move from number 2 to number 5. And Ryan goes, no.
No, I said, I'm not doing it, dumb, because you don't have any leverage. And then
I said, I will take Tua if you don't trade with me. And you're like, no, you won't. I was like, yeah, watch me. I'm a lunatic.
I did not say no, you won't. I probably said something like go ahead, and that was your cue to go ahead. Because BMAC has the number 3 pick with the Detroit Lions, and I had the Dolphins picks, and I was about to do a deal with BMAC, and then as you might expect, spiteful Brinson. By the way, I'm watching the final season of Curb finally. So you're basically the spite store.
Yes, I'm Latte Larry's.
You're Latte Larry.
This Curb season has been unbelievable, by the way.
Yeah.
He's like dating Cheryl's sister, but she's the girl from Always Sunny, Sweet D. Let's just get it out there. What's your grade going to be? Go ahead and spoil it. It's fine.
It rhymes with failure.
Is there a letter that rhymes with failure?
The first letter, F.
That's not really a rhyme. That's not how rhymes work. But I get you. Are you really going to give me an F for the two of it?
Josh, what would you give someone who took Tua number 2 overall out of spite?
Yeah, spite wouldn't be the strongest reasoning I would use to take a quarterback at number 2 overall. But, you know, I'm a firm believer that you got to get the quarterback position right. So if you don't have it right, if they don't believe Dwayne Haskins is the answer, then you have to consider Tua. If Tua is healthy, I think he's the better option at quarterback. But at the same time, I just don't think it's likely for Washington at this point. But one question, because I did watch last week's live mock draft special. You guys did a fantastic job. But one question I had for Will, how surprised were you to get Pete's only A in the entire draft?
Did you see my face? I was surprised it hadn't become a meme yet. I was shocked.
What pick was that?
Henry Ruggs, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
To the Broncos. He started firing up. I was like, oh, my God, he's going to give me another F? This is ridiculous. Then he gave me an A. It was an A+, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Of course, this also led to me getting absolutely blowtorched by Dan Katz, Barstool Big Cat, on Pardon My Take over my background here. If you didn't hear it, go listen to, like, is it Friday Show, Deba? Friday Show where you guys played it for the mailbag? They played the clip, and, Dan just rips me to shreds. Like, if the setup behind me, and you guys can see it, and people can see it on video all the time, like if my setup was something I put together like right when quarantine started, it'd be fine. But like it's been this way for 3 years. So that's sort of depressing. And unfortunately, I have to do spite shelves now. Shame shelves now. But I have to wait 1 or 2 weeks before I put these shelves in, just out of pure, you know, because I don't want to be humiliated. The other trade that I thought was really interesting, and this actually matches up, I believe, with one from our mock draft. Again, I don't want to spoil everything. Watch it 12 to 3, noon to 3 Eastern, CBS Sports HQ on your CBS Sports app and your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire Sticks, Apple TV, wherever you get your CBS Sports content. It's free to watch, 24/7 streaming sports network. And we also have a show, by the way, we'll tell you about that later though. You have the Bucks swapping with the Panthers at number 7, Ryan. Was that born out of, in your latest mock, was that born out of the mock draft special?
Did get a little inspiration out of the mock draft special. Here's what, actually the terms are the same that, took place in the mock draft special. And because if you look at the draft value chart, it sort of syncs up. So the Bucks go from 14 to 7 because, look, man, you got to protect Tom Brady. If you hang around at 14, there's no guarantee those top four offensive linemen are going to be there. Andrew Thomas, Tristan Wirfs, Jedrick Wills. Who's the other one?
Mekhi Becton.
Mekhi Becton, thank you. Yeah, so all those guys could be gone if you're at 14. And you could take a defensive tackle if you want there, if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or you can just trade up, sort it out. Now, look, they have other needs, and they just did re-sign Ndamukong Suh, so maybe that's the reason that they're not so much concerned about it, one-year deal. So if you give up a second-round pick in addition to the 14th pick to get to number 7 and you get that offensive tackle, I had him taking Tristan Wirfs, who I'd like a lot. There's no second-round pick to get a defensive tackle. There's no second-round pick to get a slot receiver if that's what you want to do for Tom Brady to fill out the wide receiver core along with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. But that can also be okay. You can circle back in round 3 and fill those needs and in day 3 as well with the wide receivers. So that's the math you're doing. But I think the most important thing to do is to protect Tommy. And if that means trading up a few spots for only a second-round pick, I feel like you got to do it.
Josh, you have the Buccaneers actually landing Mekhi Becton at number 14 overall in your 7-round mock draft, which I think is interesting. And your blurb here was like Tampa Bay runs the risk of missing out on the top offensive tackles by standing pat. And you're 100% right. Sort of a 2-part question about the pick though. Like one is like getting Becton there is a big bonus for them, I think, in this scenario. And it happens because the 49ers take Ruggs at 13 and the Browns and, or the Jets and the Raiders both go with wide receivers as well. Do you think that Becton is capable of stepping in and protecting Tom Brady right now, or is he still too maybe a little bit raw? And what do you think about that trade-up scenario for Tampa Bay that Ryan mentioned?
Yeah, I think Becton could step in right away and play left tackle pretty seamlessly. I mean, he has some room for growth. He's definitely got to work on his pass sets a little bit, but his physical profile is just tremendous. I mean, teams are going to have a hard time just getting around him.
It's unprecedented. Yeah.
I mean, exactly. Like, just because of his size alone, teams are going to have a hard time getting around him. So you allow him to continue growing. He's only going to get better with age. And that's certainly a steal at number 14 for Tampa Bay. But back to Ryan kind of projecting number set or the trade up to number 7. Tampa Bay is a team that I had kind of circled as a possible trade up candidate for my article tomorrow. I was talking about this with our editor, RJ White. About why Tampa Bay might trade up, because you're looking at possibly the Giants at number 4 kicking this run on tackles off. And then you've got the Cardinals, you've got the Jaguars, you've got the Browns, you've got the Jets. That's 4 picks in a row. So you could lose all 4 players before you get to pick number 12. So Tampa Bay, like I said, runs the risk of not having a left tackle for Tom Brady. And with having already made such a large investment into Brady, I can't imagine that they would not be willing to move up a little bit to secure a potential left tackle. But at the same time, they've only got 7 picks. So they're probably going to have to give up some future compensation. But I can't see a scenario where Tampa Bay goes out of the first round without an offensive tackle.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Ryan, what I think somebody started mowing a lawn at Josh's place.
That's exactly right. I was going to say that. I don't know if you guys can hear this, but of course the neighbor would start mowing his yard at the exact time. I would act like that's a surprise, but it's completely expected when you do this for so long.
Well, I will say, too, that like you can't really get mad at somebody for mowing their lawn at 4:45 on a Sunday afternoon in with a quarantine going on. Like, you're going to be like, hey, pal, I'm podcasting here. Ryan, what was the compensation? Did you say what the compensation was for Tampa Bay and Carolina in that swap?
14 and 45 to get to 7, and I can tell you exactly what the Panthers got out of it. Panthers go down to 14 to get Derek Brown, the defensive tackle.
Oh, okay.
Out of Auburn. And then at 45, they get cornerback Bryce Hall out of UVA, who I actually liked a lot. He got hurt. He missed like the second half of the season, I think, with an ankle injury is what it was. But if he had come out a year ago, I think he would have been a first-round pick. He's a really good physical cornerback, and right there you get the best defensive tackle in the class, and you get one of the best cornerbacks. That's not a bad haul for just going down seven spots.
Yeah, because when again, not trying to spoil the mock draft special, 12 to 3 noon to 3 Eastern on CBS Sports HQ, but like Breach did the trade. I think with Jonathan Jones, like they swapped it, and like he just gave him a second round pick to move up seven spots. I was like, man, he got fleeced. But then I think you're right. Like, unless the Panthers are just head over heels in love with Isaiah Simmons or one of these offensive tackles, or, you know, a cornerback or something like that. I would do the Bryce Hall plus Derek Brown for whoever you would be trying to get, up there at number seven. Josh, who else is on your primary trade list up? In terms of teams that might want to make a play?
Yeah, so I was going through the first round. I was trying to come up with some teams that just made sense from a, you know, here's what they need, here's where they need to be in order to get one of those prime players at that position. So I looked at the Chargers because they're obviously in the market for a quarterback. But they, like Tampa Bay, only have 7 draft picks. So that comes into play here. You got to look at draft capital and a team's ability to be able to move around. So I looked at a lot of the teams that could do both. They need a position, but they also have a lot of draft capital. That brought me to the Patriots, who obviously may need a quarterback. They have 12 draft picks this year. Miami, who Ryan mentioned earlier, has 14 draft picks. Jacksonville, 12 draft picks. Minnesota, 12. Green Bay, 10. Those are some teams that are in position to possibly trade up. In the first round, they've all got these needs. Green Bay possibly needs a wide receiver or a tight end. Minnesota, wide receiver, cornerback. Jacksonville, defensive tackle, offensive tackle. And then the Patriots, the Dolphins need a quarterback. So those 5 teams kind of stick out to me as teams that could potentially trade up in the first round.
Ryan, go ahead.
Let's follow up with Josh. He mentioned the Patriots. So I actually have the Patriots trading up into round 2 to get the number, pick number 50. If you're the Patriots and you get to pick number 50, they didn't take a quarterback in round 1. Who might you be targeting if you're Bill Belichick at number 50? Then I'll let you know.
Oh, Jalen Hurts.
Josh, you have any guesses?
Well, if it's not Jalen Hurts, I would say it's almost got to be Jacob Eason.
It's Jalen Hurts. Good job, Brinson and Josh.
Clip that. Good job, Brinson, and put it in the permanent file.
So I have him trade him to 50, and the Bears get number 87. Number 98 and number 100, those are all third-round picks. And the Bears, as you recall, have like 1.5 draft picks because they kept sending them away for various reasons. Anthony Miller, I think, and then, of course, Khalil Mack. So they get a ton of picks. They get out of the second round. They don't have a second rounder, but that might be okay. The Patriots go up and get Jalen Hurts. I would love to see Jalen Hurts in New England.
I really think there's something to this idea that – and it's sort of floated like in vaguely around in NFL circles for the last few years, but that Bill Belichick – might want to try his hand at a mobile quarterback. And he's behind the curve in terms of the money ball economic aspect of it. But that's just because Tom Brady managed to age gracefully. Like otherwise, you know what I mean? Like it does feel like he would want to try and test out something. And like maybe, you know, the Saints were worried that the Pats were going to come get Taysom Hill. And that's why they used a first round 10 or something like, you know what I mean? It just feels like there's something legitimate to that.
Well, how about this? 2 words, Cam Newton.
Sure.
Athletic as you want to be.
Yeah, I mean, there was a little Twitter buzz. It was just Twitter rumor because I had people texting me about it on Saturday afternoon that Cam and the Chargers might be happening, but I don't think anything actually occurred with it. You have the Jaguars trading up as well from number 20. Ryan, you have the Jaguars trading up 20 to 17, making a swap with the Cowboys. What was the impetus for that?
Yeah, so the Jaguars they got Mekhi Becton at number 9. They didn't want to wait around until 20. They were a little nervous that the Patriots and or the Saints might try to leapfrog them. So they go up to 17, swap with the Cowboys, and it actually didn't cost them a whole bunch. It cost them 17th pick, and the Dallas gets that 20th pick, and then a fourth and fifth rounder. But they get to 17, they take Jordan Love.
Ooh, that's a little spicy.
At the quarterback situation. So look, man, Gardner Minshew, Is he the answer? We don't know. Nick Foles obviously isn't. So there is no plan B behind that. Go get that franchise quarterback. Let him sit for as long as you possibly can. And then one last thing, you know, we just talked about Tua going number two. Well, the Jaguars moving up three spots doesn't seem insane if they really like Jordan Love.
What's the lowest you think Jordan Love could go, Josh?
I would say the Patriots pick. They're well, I would say the 20s is probably the latest. I could see New Orleans possibly moving up to try and secure him. Obviously, they don't have Teddy Bridgewater anymore. We don't know how much longer Drew Brees is going to play. New Orleans has been really aggressive in the first round of previous years. That's one scenario I could see play out. I actually love Ryan's suggestion of the Jaguars because as well as Gardner Minshew played last year, I don't know if he's got the talent level that's going to be able to get them to where they want to be. So you kind of throw another dart at the board, possibly get a franchise quarterback with Jordan Love after getting your top tackle prospect in Becton earlier in the draft. I think that's a really great first phase scenario for Jacksonville, a team that has a lot of draft capital and certainly needs to use it in some capacity. Might as well benefit them in the long run.
Yeah, I think the Jordan Love thing is interesting. It feels like this guy might be the byproduct of a bizarre. Are you in on Jordan Love, Ryan, as an actual prospect?
Yeah, I like him a lot. He played a terrible football team last year.
So you would be okay using a first round pick on him?
Oh, 100%. I don't know if he'll be there at 20. I like him better than Justin Herbert.
Oh, okay. Is he any chance he could creep up above Tua on your list?
No, if Tua's not healthy, yeah, of course. But no, Tua's 1B to Joe Burrow and Tua's 100%. Tua's awesome. We just sort of forget that because our lasting image of him is crumpled in the turf against Mississippi State because he was in that game at the end of the first half for no clear reason.
Yeah, man. I was just coming from mowing my lawn, watching that. Like, what is he doing out there? And then, like, the announcers are even like, yeah, Tua demanded to go back out there. Boom! And he just gets crushed. Trade down, candidates.
Here, let me add one more real quick before we move on. I had one more trade up into the first round. The Browns at number 10 got Javon Kinlaw because all the offensive linemen were gone. So at 32, the Chiefs don't really have a huge need. They could take, you know, I think you and Josh both like running backs there occasionally. They could draft a cornerback. But the Browns trade up from 41 to 32 to get back into the end of the first round and take an offensive lineman, Ezra Cleveland. It cost them the 41st pick and then a compensatory pick, 97, in the third round. And that way they have the offensive tackle for Baker and they have a defensive tackle for Myles Garrett. And you kill two birds in the first round, and it doesn't seem like a terrible idea for the 97th pick.
Y'all talk to me a little bit about Ezra Cleveland because I think he will be surprising people with where he goes in our mock draft show. Seems like there's some positive buzz building for him. Like this always, I mean, this happens like as, you know, as teams figure out who these prospects are more and more and start to dig into them, you see it infiltrating mock drafts. And that means that people, you know, these teams are talking about these players to people who are doing it. So, is Ezra Cleveland a viable first rounder, Josh?
Absolutely. I mean, I really like this film. I was a little bit surprised he wasn't getting more attention in the first round. Even before the combine, when I was at the combine, everybody was doing their interviews, and there's just this pool of media around, you know, the big names, Andrew Thomas, Tristan Wirfs, those kind of guys. There was nobody in front of Ezra Cleveland's podium. So I actually took a picture just to kind of say, this is going to change because you may not be familiar with him now, but you will be eventually because his tape was really good. And then he comes out and blows everybody away with his combine performance. And that was when he arrived. Everybody kind of started considering him as a first-round pick at that point. He's just a really clean prospect. I think that's a fantastic pick for a team that needs an offensive tackle at the end of the first round. If Cleveland can't get one of their four offensive tackles at number 10, which would be pretty disappointing, I think Ezra Cleveland is a really strong option for them in the back of the first round.
Ryan, what's the gap here between Ezra Cleveland and Wirfs, Thomas, Becton, and who's the other guy? Who am I forgetting?
Wirfs, Thomas, Wills, Becton.
Wills, thank you.
Here's the thing. Like, he's extremely athletic, and you even saw that sort of before he went to the combine. And Cleveland did a lot of one-on-one blocking. Like, he was required to handle the edge rusher time and time again, and he did it really, really well. There are issues about his strength. He needs to get stronger, but you said that about every offensive lineman. And the other issue that will concern some people is that who did Boise State play? And that's sort of the same argument you have about Curtis Weaver, their edge rusher, who put up some insane numbers. He's not nearly as athletic as Cleveland, but Boise State doesn't really play anyone. They play Florida State, I think, in the week one game.
Florida State team stunk too.
Yeah. I mean, I think Cam Akers had a long touchdown run, but Josh knows that Florida State offensive line was dog doo doo. So, I mean, he basically did that by himself. So that's the thing. You're sort of projecting how is Cleveland going to be, Ezra Cleveland going to be in Cleveland, having not played against some, you know, the Power Five all the time. But I think at the bottom of the first round, it's almost a no-brainer. So he's not nearly as refined as some of the guys we've talked about. He's not nearly as strong as Mekhi Becton, but no one is. But he can come in right away and have success. That offensive line, especially the left tackle position, is a huge question mark in Cleveland after Joe Thomas left. And now they have Jack Conklin. So it steps in the right direction to protect Baker Mayfield and make Stefanski's job easier.
All right. What about trade down? We mentioned the Redskins, of course. Of course, the Lions make sense at 3. Ryan had them trading with the Dolphins in that spot. Maybe the Giants could trade down. It would be if the Giants are there and Tua's on the board, if the Redskins and the Lions stand pat and take their guys because, you know, the Dolphins aren't willing to pay to come up to get Tua, or they have concerns about the health, or they just want to go with Justin Herbert, and Dave Gettleman sitting there at number 4 with Tua on the clock, with Tua still on the board. And this is a guy who's never in all his years running, franchises as a GM, has never traded back out of his first, never traded up or back out of his first round pick. He just doesn't move. He stands pat. He takes the same thing. I think it would be a real signal to everyone that the analytics group, the computer folk, if you prefer, have an actual influence on the Giants front office if the Giants were to make a move back.
No question. I mean, I think it was brought up on Pick 6 earlier this week that it kind of seems like analytics has already started to play a role in their decision making, because taking or signing a cornerback to such a large deal like they did with James Bradbury is not something that they would have done under Dave Gettleman in the past. So, you know, times are changing. It's going to be this 2020 NFL draft where team personnel has like 5-7 people in the room making picks over a teleconference. I mean, this is a wacky draft as it is, so it would only compound things to have Dave Gettleman draft or trade back. I think that's a possible scenario. Somebody in the top 5 is going to do it, whether it's the Lions, the Redskins, or the Giants. Somebody's going to do some moving, so one of those two teams, the Dolphins or the Chargers, can move up and take Tua.
Josh mentioned only having potentially 5 or 7 people in the draft room. Maybe they'll change the card key and Dave Gettleman can't even get in, and maybe that'll solve the problem.
I like to imagine Dave Gettleman walking around like the office, or like the Giants office, and he like goes up to some like new kid that they hired, like some analytics kid who's like, he's like, you look, I got an email on this phone. It's incredible. You can browse the internet and look at comics on here. It's unbelievable. Something of that nature. I don't know if that was a good Dave Gettleman or not. Probably.
Yeah,
not.
It changes, but every time I could sort of see Dave Gettleman.
I do change my Dave Gettleman impersonation every single time. Like there, he was some sort of low-level mafia informant type. All right, let's. Anybody else that could be a trade-down candidate? We mentioned the Panthers. Anybody else that you guys have in mind?
Well, I mentioned the Chiefs as well at the bottom of the first round because they really have nothing. The Ravens like to trade down a lot. I mean, historically, but if there's like a linebacker, the Kenneth Murray, Patrick Queen, you would imagine they would go after that. Debo would probably not be happy if the Eagles traded down from 21 and missed out on a wide receiver. So, what?
If Judy, CeeDee Lamb, and Henry Ruggs are gone, you can trade down and get Justin Jefferson, pick up some extra picks.
Yeah, no, that would make sense. But if one of those guys is there, I would imagine staying put would be preferred by most Eagles fans.
Are we just out on T. Higgins in the first round? Is that's not a thing, right?
Josh had him going, I think, in his seventh round mock in the first round. I'm not crazy about – I would rather have – I think Josh had T. Higgins going ahead of Denzel Mims. I like Denzel Mims a little more, but I don't know if Josh – I mean, Josh has a mock draft every week too, so I don't know if he's just doing it for variety's sake or if he feels that way.
I still like T. Higgins. I think his upside is still pretty substantial when you compare it to a guy like Denzel Mims, but I would not be surprised if – Mims went first or Higgins went first, you can throw Brandon Ayuk in that group. I think Justin Jefferson is clearly going to be gone at that point. Those would be kind of the two, probably Mims or Higgins, if you need a big wide receiver, those would be the two options there. But two teams that I think could trade back out of the first round there in the second half of the first round are the 49ers and the Seahawks. The Seahawks always trade back, so that would not be any change for them to do it again this year. The 49ers, they do have number 13 and number 31 overall, but their next pick is not until like the fifth round. So I would not be surprised if they didn't trade out of that number 31 overall pick, pick up some additional draft assets, and then possibly be able to make some other big moves throughout the course of the draft.
I think if you set the over-under for 49ers first-round trade downs at 1.5, I would hit the over. I think they'll trade. Unless they just love CeeDee Lamb or Henry Ruggs, or if one of those wide receivers, or if they're in love with those receivers or one of those tackles, I could see them staying at 13. I think they will try and trade back with both of those picks, knowing they can still stay in the meat of the draft and to try and acquire additional capital. The 49ers are out west. What about the teams up north? The Lions, the Vikings, Ryan Steelers. What will they do coming up after the break? We'll look at the NFC North and AFC North team needs.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Let's start with Detroit, the Detroit Lions, and Matt Patricia, your favorite person, Ryan. What's the biggest need for the Lions right now?
Well, they need a cornerback because they traded Darius Slay to the Eagles. Who do I have them taking? Oh, I have them trading down, taking Isaiah Simmons. So they have need at linebacker, and they can fill that, obviously, with Isaiah Simmons, who can play just about everywhere. You could get an edge rusher if you want. Trey Flowers is there, but they need to improve their edge rush. Who else I haven't taken? Let me see throughout the three rounders.
Would you rather have Jeff Okuda or Isaiah Simmons plus an extra pick?
Oh, Isaiah Simmons is an extra pick. I love Okuda too. By the way, so I had him taking Isaiah Simmons in this sort of trade down with the Dolphins scenario. They got Xavier McKinney at the top of round two, and then a few picks later they got Jonathan Taylor, a running back. So they do have needs of running back too. Kerryon Johnson, obviously he's the only show in town, but you might want to help Matthew Stafford. And so those are three sort of needs that I targeted. But I think cornerback is probably number one. I had them circling back on the round three, getting Cameron Dantzler, who I like, but he ran really slow at the combine.
How do you see them approaching this draft, Josh?
Well, we've talked about this previously. Matt Patricia, I mean, this is probably his last year. So he's got to make
– it's put up or shut up. I mean, Martha Firestone Ford – which, by the way, she was Firestone initially. Was that like Firestone Tire? Like she married the tire, like the tire heiress married a motor magnet. It's incredible. Is that right? I'm just making it up as we go. Like I haven't even bothered to look at Wikipedia. I assume Debo will handle that. Anyway, you continue on. Sorry.
No, I actually had that same thought earlier when you mentioned Martha Firestone Ford. So I'm actually curious to know that myself. But when you look at Detroit, You know, they lost three defensive tackles, I believe, with Mike Daniels, A'shaun Robinson, Snacks Harrison. So interior defensive line is another position they may have to address as well. But they need to take whoever is at the top of their board. They need an immediate impact player because, again, this is probably Matt Patricia, Bob Quinn's final year if they're not able to get the job done in 2021. Whenever we get to play some football, this is probably going to be their final year unless they show some results. So they've got to get somebody that's going to make a big impact on this team right away.
By the way, Martha Ford's father, Harvey S. Firestone, was the founder of Firestone Tire and Rubber Company. So and she, according to Wikipedia, Martha met William Clay Ford at a lunch in New York City that was arranged and attended by both of their mothers. Talk about some old school. That ain't like your little, what are you on, Debo? The Hitch? Ain't like Hitch. You're just swiping through, flying through women. This is doing it classy, bringing your moms to lunch to set up the magnet lunch. Hinge. What did I say? Hitch?
Your favorite Will Smith movie, Hitch.
Oh, so bad. I've got a bit of Martha Firestone Ford trivia for you that I will give you. I will mail you my Philip Rivers doll if you can.
Oh,
get
I thought I was going to ask for the Philip Rivers doll. What's the question?
Is that what you're going to ask for? Really?
Because I knew you wouldn't give it up.
I'm assuming you haven't looked at Wikipedia or cheated here. If you know this, I will mail you my Philip Rivers doll. What was Martha Firestone, Martha at the time just Martha Firestone. Martha Firestone. What was her nickname in college at Vassar?
You got a guess, Josh?
No, and I'm afraid half the answers would probably not be appropriate for what we're going through here. So I'll probably just sit this one out.
You guys are just not going to guess. That's
actually guess. I was trying to buy time by making Josh go first. He is right. These are fireable offenses potentially.
And we're doing saying, hey, let's guess it. Let's guess what an 80-year-old billionaire lady's nickname was in college.
I got it. Hot pants.
Hot pants. Wow, that's good. Her nickname was Stony.
I was going to say like Maddie Ice, like opposite of fire, Martha Maddie. Or Firestarter.
I'm assuming it was something else. I don't know what it was for, but I was floored.
Firestone. That's why Stone. Hard part there.
She then was a Vassar student with a college nickname Stony. Oh yeah, I guess Firestone. Yeah, that works. Stony. Hey, Stony!
How did you not do that math?
I don't know.
why do they call her Fire Lady?
All right, moving along. To a team that's not owned by a tire and car magnet, the Minnesota Vikings. What do we think that the Minnesota Vikings, how will they approach this draft? Because in my mind, they will probably do what they've done a lot, and that is draft cornerbacks, because that's what Mike Zimmer likes to do, and it's what he's good at, right?
Yeah,
they almost have to. I mean, they let Mackenzie Alexander walk. They let Trey Waynes walk. Xavier Rhodes is gone. So, I mean, they've pretty much – vanquish that entire cornerback room. They've got to make a move in the first round to get a cornerback, and they're probably going to take a couple more before the draft is over.
Yeah, I sort of joked that the Buccaneers should only draft offensive linemen, but I'm sort of joking that the Vikings should only draft defensive backs. So continuing with the joke theme, at number 22, I had the Vikings taking a cornerback. I'll give you guys one guess who I had them taking.
Martha Ford.
Josh knows who it is.
It's got to be Stephon's little brother, right? Trevon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Trevon Diggs. And I think I said this on HQ earlier on Sunday.
Is that actually Stephon Diggs' little brother?
Yeah. He's taller, but he
can't take him.
So you take, no, but it gets better. You take him. I think he's a really good cornerback. He's sort of been underrated.
And then you don't play him.
No, you make him play wide receiver. And you give him Stephon's number. Done and done.
That'd be pretty funny.
The fans aren't mad that they bought the Stephon Diggs jersey. They can't use it anymore. It's easy. Yeah, so I'm picking Trevon Diggs, and then I had him picking another cornerback. I wasn't even kidding. In round two, I had him picking Damon Arnett of Ohio State. Because, I mean, look, if they did that at the top two or three, I don't think that anyone would be like, oh, that's crazy. They need cornerbacks.
I just don't think they can take Stephon Diggs' little brother. I don't think
– No, they may not. I sort of did that tongue-in-cheek. They probably won't do that.
That'd be hilarious. Is he a legitimate first-round pick?
I think people have him, like, first or second. I think Josh may have had him going second round in his latest mock draft, and I've had him going second in some of these three rounders, but I like him. I like him more than I think some people do. People point to the LSU game. I didn't think he played that poorly against LSU. He was playing against Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow. It's okay if you get burned occasionally. The one touchdown he gave up, I think it was the first touchdown of the game, he just got beat on a back shoulder throw. I mean, there are very few people who are going to, you know, win on back shoulder throws as a cornerback, but he's big. He's strong. There's some questions about his deep speed. I know I've talked to people that think he made a business decision last year because he didn't play very hard, but a lot of players do that in college because they don't want to get hurt.
Josh, the Green Bay Packers, another team in the NFC North, it seems safe to reason that they might consider going for a weapon for Aaron Rodgers late in the first round if they end up staying where they are. They lost Brian Bulaga, Blake Martinez, and notably Jimmy Graham, who signed a big, crazy big deal with the Bears, even though he wasn't great. I mean, he's still a pass catcher, and he had some big plays in the playoffs. So what could you see them doing in the first round here?
So in my most recent, I gave them Cole Kmet, the tight end out of Notre Dame. That may be a little bit too early for where he's projected, but they're pretty desperate. I mean, this is a team that pretty much went all in on Austin Hooper in free agency before he signed with the Browns. They clearly need a tight end. I mean, that's been a staple of their offense for quite some time, and they really don't have a viable candidate on the roster unless you want to look at Jay Sternberger, who, you know, has shown some flashes, but he needs to continue developing. Tight end would be an option. Maybe Denzel Mims, Brandon Ayuk. You know, we talked about T. Higgins earlier. A guy that I love for them in the second round, Lynn Bowden Jr. from Kentucky. He's got a lot of similarities to Randall Cobb for me, a guy that can handle return abilities, plus really do a lot of special things when he's got the ball in his hand after the catch. So that's a guy I think is a perfect fit for what they want to try to do there late second round.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Lynn Bowden because I thought about giving him to the Packers as well for the reasons you mentioned, the Randall Cobb connection. I had him going in the third round to the Saints because he's the younger, cheaper, better version of Taysom Hill. And I don't think Josh mentioned it, but he played quarterback, what, four or five games last year too, Josh, because the quarterback was hurt?
Yeah, he played about half the season. They did not throw many passes with him at quarterback, which probably hampered the likes of some of their other wide receivers that were on the roster. But he is just incredible when you get him in space. I mean, you've got him in the phone booth. He can make guys miss. He's got that kind of agility. It's pretty special. I don't know if how many people have actually watched him play, but he's a pretty special talent.
Oh, yeah. He played quarterback in the bowl game against Virginia Tech and had a – I want to say he had a really good day or maybe – oh, no, he ran the ball like crazy. He had 34 rushing attempts for 233 yards. I mean, the dude was all over the place. He's making people miss left and right. Yeah, that's an interesting play. I like that idea. Get the ball in his hands, use him as a modern weapon. All right, let's move along to, unless you got something else you want to add to the Packers, let's move along through to the Bears, the Chicago Bears. Ryan Pace, go do whatever you want to do. It's going to be bad. It's not going to work out. They don't have a pick until number 43. And you have them taking Jacob Eason, Ryan?
Yeah, I do. Back-to-back weeks. They need a quarterback.
Did we talk about this already?
I don't know if we talked about it last week. They need a quarterback. And Jacob, I think I like Jacob Eason more than most people. He had the first half of the season, he was really good.
Can I just say, by the way, that I don't think – I know that they need a quarterback. I don't think Ryan Pace thinks they need a quarterback. And there's a big difference between what we think – what the reality is, and what he thinks.
I will say this. I think Ryan Pace knows they need a quarterback, but he can't say it out loud because he's tied his wagon to Mitch Trubisky, and Mitch Trubisky is running as fast as he can over the edge of that cliff. And Ryan Pace can go right – I don't know what Ryan Pace thinks. He knows how this is going to end. It's going to end with him getting fired probably in – what is this, March? Probably in 10, 11 months because, you know, Nick Foles is going to come in. He's going to be terrible, and they just refused. And, you know, the whole thing is going to – the conversation is going to start when the first paragraph of his – story when he gets fired is he passed on to Sean Watson and Patrick Mahomes.
Hey, but hey, by the way, do you know what Virginia McCaskey's nickname in college was?
Virginia Slim.
That's actually a pretty good one. I'm joking. I have no idea. We're not going to get certain. Anyway, continue on. Sorry.
Yeah, so I have them taking Jacob Eason at 43. They have a ton of other needs, but this is also the scenario we talked about before the break where I had the Patriots trade him to 50 so the Bears could get a bunch of draft picks in the third round. I had them taking Michael Ojemudia, the cornerback out of Iowa, and then Sadiq Charles, the offensive tackle at LSU, and then Tyler Johnson, the controversial wide receiver out of Minnesota. I like him. I like him a lot, Tyler Johnson, but you talk to people like, eh, he doesn't do anything that sort of blows you away, but he puts up crazy numbers. Anyway, three picks are better than one for the Bears because they need a bunch of stuff to fix that team.
Sorry, Josh, dive on in on the Bears if you want.
So they've got 43, they've got 50. You could talk about a lot of the same players in that range. Trevon Diggs, who we mentioned earlier, that could possibly solve a cornerback issue. Noah Igbinogheni from Auburn, Jeff Gladney from TCU, Jalen Johnson from Utah. They need some interior offensive linemen. Natane Moody from Fresno State, Lloyd Cushenberry from LSU, Cesar Ruiz from Michigan, and Robert Hunt, a guy who I really love. I talked to somebody at the Combine who is a big fan of Robert Hunt from Louisiana Lafayette because he played right tackle last year, but his upside as an interior offensive lineman is pretty special. I mean, obviously you got to project that quite a bit, but he could have a really bright future along the interior offensive line. So I think you'll see him end up going in the second round, possibly to the Bears, who, as we noted previously, need an interior offensive lineman.
I will say this, by the way, Josh had the Steelers taking Robert Hunt in the second round. I'm fully on board with that pick.
Cool. I like it. I don't know how I'm down this bizarre rabbit hole of elderly female NFL owners on Wikipedia. Like, I'm like reading. I'm like, it's like doing, you guys are talking. I was doing a deep dive reading Virginia McCaskey's history. I find this lady so fascinating. Let's talk about the AFC North teams. Before we do, I should point out that the Pick Six podcast show, if you listen to this podcast on a daily basis, why not get some more of it? Watch us on CBS Sports HQ, our 24/7 streaming sports network, every single weeknight, Monday through Friday. It turns out that not only did we do an okay job on the show, but they liked us. The feedback I got was the two quotes that we can put on our movie. What do you do? The movie poster. The two quotes I got were somewhat entertaining and, quote, surprisingly professional. So I'm just kidding. I made those up. But it's actually a really fun show. It's an hour long, 8 to 9 Eastern. We may have some more news on the changing times to make it easier for people to watch. Update you on that later this week. But go check that out, 8 to 9 Eastern. Tonight, tomorrow night, every night, you're stuck in your house. Come hang with us.
So you did make up the movie quotes? Movie poster.
Yeah, I thought this was fun.
I saw the text. I was like, I can't imagine anyone was actually saying this. I thought you may have been lying to me.
Surprising. Yeah, what did I say? Surprisingly professional.
Yeah, something like that.
Hey, man, we have fun with the show. The Bengals. They're obviously going to take Joe Burrow, barring. Is there any chance they do? They go rogue and take somebody else, like Tua?
Zero. Like, there's a better chance that you run a 4.35 40 tomorrow.
Nah, there's a better chance of Joe Burrow.
Even Josh is shaking his head yes. It's not happening.
Mike Brown is such a by-the-book owner that he just cannot, for the life of him, pass up on Joe Burrow. I think that's like at least an easy double and possibly a home run because he's a pretty gifted player coming off one of the best seasons of college football that we've ever seen. Oh, and he happens to reside in the state of Ohio, so – I mean, this is about as easy it gets for a franchise. I can't even imagine that they screw this up. I would be shocked if it is not Joe Burrow at number one overall.
And you talk about the Spite store. Mike Brown built the Spite store next to your Spite store, next to Latte Larry's, next to Mocha Joe's. I mean, he will draft you sheerly out of spite and then pay you to sit there and not do anything. He doesn't
care. If you tell Mike Brown you don't want to be a Bengal, you're going to be a Bengal. Like that's how that dude operates. He has a spite dumpster out back. rummages through it to find scraps. What other needs do you think the Bengals have and who could they target? They got 33 and 65, Josh. Who'd you have them taken in the secondary rounds there?
I don't remember who I had them taking specifically. Go ahead. You look that up. I'll go by who they
are. Cesar Ruiz, offensive lineman out of Michigan. And it's very helpful because they're at the top of the first round, the round. So you just click on the handy little button there. And Jabari Zuniga, edge out of Florida.
Yeah, I think both of those would fill a need. They've got a pretty good defensive line. It's going to be costly this upcoming year with so many veterans. You know, plus the addition of DJ Reader, who I think is very underrated across the NFL. He's a tremendous defensive tackle, but you lose Cordy Glenn, you get Jonah Williams in at left tackle. They've got to address the rest of the offensive line, interior, and the right tackle position. Possibly get another wide receiver. Quarterback, as we already noted, is going to be a pretty big emphasis for them. Obviously going to be filled by Joe Burrow in all likelihood, but those would be the positions of need that I think Cincinnati probably needs to address. But this is a team that's kind of like a – they're very close to probably being in transition because they do have so many veterans on the roster. So you almost have to start considering some of these aging assets on your roster and look for ways to replace them. So that pretty much gives them any option across the board. I think they just need to take the best player available.
Yeah, I had him taking Joe Burrow, obviously number one. And then Zach Bond at the top of round two. He's an edge rusher who could kick inside if you need him to. And then Malik Harrison, who plays inside for Ohio State. And he's a thumper. So they filled the defensive needs that Josh talked about. And, you know, keep on keeping on. If they want to get a wide receiver, I think probably day three is a good place to start given the other needs they have and that A.J. Green's coming back. But if someone falls there, I mean, if they took Chase Claypool at the top of round three, I don't think I'd hate that.
They have a really good chance. I really think that – I said this on CBS Sports HQ last week, but and the clip kind of blew up on Twitter. But, like, I think the Bengals – I think you can squint at the Bengals. They have to have a good draft. Like, they need to really hit on these three picks at the top of each of the first three rounds. Like, it's really important because you're getting three top 65 players, you know. And this is a draft, to me, that has a lot of good depth. Like, it's not an exceptionally top-heavy. Like, I don't know how many – like truly elite blue chip guys there are at the top of the draft. And maybe you guys think differently, but like, I do think this is a good draft in terms of like from 25 to 65. And so like, I think the Bengals need to come away with three good players. And if you squint, I could see them being the second best team in the division. If like Ben Roethlisberger has trouble with his, you know, returning with his arm and the Browns it up.
Yeah.
I can see him being the second team in the division simply because they are bringing back so many veterans from last year's team, whether it's A.J. Green, Geno Atkins. We're talking about the addition of Jonah Williams already. So they've got a lot of pieces in place. I don't think it's necessarily the best model to have long-term success. But in the immediate present, I think you're absolutely right. I think they're a potential sleeper there in the AFC North. I don't think they're really a contender, even with all those pieces returning. But within the AFC North, I think they've certainly got a fighting chance.
You talked about the Wilson, do you want to talk about the Bengals?
Well, I mean, 20% chance they win eight games. Over or under?
I mean, probably under.
Right. Okay.
Are you saying over under 8 or over under 20?
20%.
10% chance they win eight games. But, like, what if Joe Burrow is just freaking great? What if he's just Joe? What if he's just Swaggy Joe from LSU and he shows up in Cincinnati and he lights the world on fire?
But how often does that happen? I mean, Kyler Murray had a great year. What'd they win? Six, seven games? What'd they win? They didn't win seven games.
They won seven games.
Oh, they did?
They won five games? Let's see.
I don't think they won seven. My point is
that. Have you guys noticed that, like, the longer we've been in this quarantine situation, like, the more easily you're forgetting things?
Oh, I'm just getting old. I can't remember anything.
But my usual brain synapsis and processing is not operating at the. They went 5-10-1. Like, I can't remember like what the Cardinals' record was.
I know why you're struggling. You are inherently a social person. I am not. This is a typical Sunday for me. Only thing changes is my kids are home all the time. You got to go out. You got to go have. What are you talking about? You got to go have drinks with your buddies at the watering hole. You got to be out. Prance around the grocery store, people see you. The fact that you're stuck at home, you cannot stay. You're going crazy.
Prancing around the grocery stores and people can see me?
Peacock. I meant to say peacock.
Peacocking around the grocery stores and people see me? You think I wear like, what do you think I'm the type of person that like wears CBS sports gear and peacocks around the grocery store necessarily? Desperately hoping that somebody will be like, hey, are you Will Brinson?
No. You wear a scarf, no doubt, with a t-shirt. And then you're walking around the grocery store. With your little, your driving moccasins on. I know, I've seen this too many times.
A scarf with a t-shirt? What sort of vision are you questing?
I'm making that part up. But you don't like being at home. You can't stand it. I'm totally fine with it. Josh seems like he can handle it okay. You need social interaction, whereas I don't necessarily need that.
I love being at home.
Yeah.
Just not with my family.
I've known you for 12 years. This is as punchy as you've ever been these last two weeks.
I mean, it's pretty tense times, dude.
Let me put it to you this way. How's the AK on the Brinson meter? Like, does she think Brinson's a lot of fun to be around now? Or is this like, yeah, that's my point.
What's the meter? What's like a one?
Like 10 is your wedding, and zero is, I'm 10 seconds away from stabbing this man to death.
3.5, probably.
There we go.
Yeah. I just wish people could have seen the little little shoulder shimmy dance that Ryan did there to describe well when he's peacocking.
I think that AK and I have
an understanding.
No, absolutely not. I think that we have a different perspective on on how to handle this quarantine situation. So she's like, I'm going to go to the store and get some eye cream. It's like, no, like you need to get a list of things. If you want to go to the store, go to the store, but get a big list of things. Like, you don't need to go to the store to get eye cream just to get out of the house. We're on lockdown here.
Oh, like, no, you actually misspoke. I meant to say ice cream. She literally meant eye cream.
Eye cream for her eyes, not ice cream. Cream. She's like, my cream's not working. I need a different eye cream. I was like, maybe just don't worry about the eye cream, you know?
Because I could make an argument for going to the store for ice cream, no matter the situation. Eye cream?
I want to go to the beach and see my mom. Her mom is now insistent that we come down with Robbie. And she was like, can you go? I was like, well, one, we've been ordered not to leave our homes by the government. Two, I have to work all the time. She's like, I don't know, what do you want me to do? I got to work. Debo won't let me off this podcast. All right, let's move on. The Browns, we mentioned that they could I don't need to air my personal laundry on here.
Too late.
Yep. You mentioned the Browns could trade up into the first round. Could they, Ryan, trade up from 10 if they're worried? Because you haven't taken Javon Kinlaw. Could they be worried about missing out on one of those offensive linemen to make a play up, you think?
Yeah, they love – I mean, I mentioned Ezra Cleveland at the bottom of the first round. He's not in the top four conversation. He's probably not top five if you like Josh Jones, and I like Josh Jones. So, yeah, they can certainly trade up, and it depends on how serious they are about addressing that left tackle position. We mentioned Jack Conklin. I just saw Chris Hubbard, the right tackle they signed from Pittsburgh, just took restructured his deal. He could even play guard if you need him to. They need help there too. So if they want – if they feel like the final piece is Mekhi Becton or Tristan Wirfs moving over to the left side or Andrew Thomas, they could certainly go up there and do that, and I don't think – trying to think how far would they have to go up. Maybe two or three spots, maybe to the Panthers at 7, and they should be in good shape.
Josh, your thoughts on Cleveland and their setup right now?
Yeah, I think if they were to miss out on the top four tackle options, I think even a trade down is possible there. Just to possibly move down, get some extra draft capital, and still take a Josh Jones, an Austin Jackson, or an Ezra Cleveland, one of that second tier of offensive tackles. But I like what they've done this offseason. I think they've added a lot of veterans on one-year deals to kind of put a Band-Aid on some of those little cuts that they've had over the past couple of years. I think that gives them a lot of flexibility in the draft. So I would still look for them to take an offensive tackle at number 10 if one is there. But if one is not there, I could see them trading down as well. They've got some other needs, whether it be at the linebacker position or safety. Those would be the two primary positions that I would look for them to target. Or defense attack. So three.
Fun fact. Dee Haslam, part owner of the.
What's her fun fact?
She and Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy fired up to Max Haslam. They were classmates at the Webb School in Knoxville in high school, but didn't actually start dating until after college at Tennessee.
How about that? That is, I don't know if I call it fun. Interesting.
It's the only really thing I could dig out of.
All right.
And it just happened to be talking about the Browns. I thought it was interesting. They listed on Wikipedia, it's like a lot of female team owners are listed. So I don't know that I say like
– minority owners perhaps?
Ford is one of 10 female NFL team owners. The others are Virginia McCaskey, Kim Pegula, sure. Carol Davis of the Las Vegas Raiders. Right? Huh? Dee Haslam, Amy Adams Strunk, yes. Gail Benson, of course. Janice McNair, Denise DiBartolo York.
Oh, yeah.
And Jody Allen. I didn't realize we had 10 female owners.
I didn't either.
Yep.
Cool.
Moving along to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sure, I'm not even looking at the rundown at this point. Moving along to the Baltimore Ravens. They have number 28 overall, a very good roster. They have as well 55 and 60. That's two nice little picks there. They lost Hayden Hurst in that trade to Atlanta. Michael Pierce, Marshall Yanda to retirement, but they did add Calais Campbell in that trade with Jacksonville. The Michael Brockers deal fell apart because of a physical, and Brockers ended up going back to the Rams. What direction could you see them going here, Josh?
I think linebacker, edge, those are still a couple areas of need. Marshall Yanda, of course, retiring. They'll probably have to address that at some point as well. But even running back, I've talked about running back, which, you know, again, is kind of a luxury, but this is a team that is set up pretty well. I would have liked it a lot better if they had Michael Brockers, but they did at least get Derek Wolf from Denver in free agency. So they're set up pretty well to just kind of take the best player available across a couple of positions. So you're talking about possibly Zach Bond there at the end of the first round, possibly Patrick Queen from LSU if he slides. That could be an option for them as well. I think you're looking for them to address that middle unit there on defense is their first pick, at least in the first round.
So let me run this. Actually, I like their three-round mock draft a lot. I just sort of looked at it for the first time. So let me run this by you, Josh. Tell me what you think about this. They take Kenneth Murray in the first round, the linebacker out of Oklahoma, Josh Uche, the edge rusher out of Michigan, and Michael Pittman Jr., the wide receiver out of USC in rounds two. Round three, another guy. We talked about Lynn Bowden earlier from Kentucky. I like Antonio Gibson a lot in sort of that same sort of versatility role. The kid out of Memphis who played both wide receiver and running back will probably be a running back. In the NFL, he ran like a 4.3 something in the combine. So he's built like a Mack truck. And then finally, Adam Troutman with the very last pick of the third round, the compensatory pick, the tight end out of Dayton, who had a really good season for FCS, the FCS Flyers.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good haul for them. I love Josh Uche. He doesn't get enough conversation, I think, is a potential. I don't think he's going to slip into the first round, but I think he could easily be justified as an early day two pick because he has so much potential off the edge. I don't think that Michigan really cut him loose this past year. But you talk about adding him and Kenneth Murray, who Kenneth Murray is one of my favorite prospects because he's such an active linebacker. He's the perfect type of player that you want playing the off-ball position in today's NFL because he's capable of covering every single blade of grass. So you're talking about adding those two guys to your defense that already has Calais Campbell and some of these other key defensive pieces. Obviously, their secondary is in really good shape. I mean, you're setting up something really special in Baltimore to go with an offense that's already ranking as one of the best in the league. So I think that'd be just it's hard to put a grade on it, but that would be as close to ideal as you could probably get if you're a Ravens fan.
All right, dig it. Last one, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ryan, Steelers, they do not have a first-round pick. But you know what, Ryan? Nobody minds because they got Minkah Fitzpatrick. And as we talked about, I think, on our CBS Sports HQ show, maybe on Friday, they all blend together at this point. Mea culpa. We blasted the Steelers for that trade during real time. You sort of blindly stood up for it. But you ended up, you know what? They say, what my dad liked to say, a blind hog finds an acorn every now and then too, and you ended up being correct.
Does he really say that?
Yeah, you never heard that say?
Not a blind hog.
Blind pig? What?
A blind squirrel finds a nut. Blind hog? What are you talking about? I thought you were joking.
No, I think it's blind hog.
Why would a blind hog eat an acorn?
I don't know.
Look at Josh. Josh is like, what have I gotten myself into?
Blind hog saying.
No, it's a blind squirrel. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut. I actually was saying that over you as you were saying that I blind.
No, it's blind hog finds an acorn.
Have you ever heard of that, Josh?
I've never heard that. And, you know, I think back to the conversation that we had earlier on the podcast where you were saying that you're starting to forget things the longer that we're cooped up. I feel like this is possibly one of those scenarios.
Did you just Google like WillBrinson.com for that quote to come up? Because I can't imagine.
I'm currently Googling, do pigs eat acorns?
There's nothing else I would imagine I do. All right. Well, I'm sure someone will let you know.
Whoa. Pigs eat acorns, pal.
But is it a saying? That's my
yes. Question. Blind pig finds an acorn. Is this a saying?
You've heard that, Debo?
No, but the internet is now telling me it is real. I was on your side until.
Look at that. All right. Here's an example of Brinson blindly falling into something that actually.
I blind hog. No, that's not true at all. I said the saying correctly. You called me a crazy person.
I never heard that.
Turns out you're the acorn, pal.
We grew up 70 miles from each other. I never heard that. So back to the Steelers. Clyde Edwards-Helaire again in the second round. I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to will it into existence. I think Josh had Clyde Edwards-Helaire going a little higher. And I know Josh loves him. I love him so much too. And if he falls to the Steelers at 49, they don't draft him, I'll be extremely angry. And then their other only pick, 102, the comp pick in the third round, I'm taking Jabari Zuniga, who we talked about. We'll see where he goes. He could go higher than this. The injuries are somewhat concerning for people, but they need edge help. Bud Dupree's on that 1 year franchise deal. So make that defense even better.
Well, they'll solve their edge problems next year when they add the third Watt brother, though. That's the plan, right?
Oh, there you go. Maybe they should have Watt play edge. Problem solved.
That's exactly right. So, you know, I look at the Steelers. Obviously, they added Eric Ebron, but they still need to add a tight end, in my opinion. Clyde Edwards-Helaire at the running back position. I was slow to kind of rank him as highly as I did because of his size. But if you just watch him play, I mean, he is fantastic at what he does. So I think that'd be a great fit for what Pittsburgh wants to do. It'd give them a little bit more explosion. They kind of lost that this past year with some of their injuries, and they had to put Benny Snell back there, who is a little less explosive than what you would expect from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But interior defensive line, you let Javon Hargrave leave, who, like DJ Reader, I think is pretty underrated in terms of interior defensive linemen in the NFL. But edge rusher, interior offensive line, interior defensive line. What about quarterback? Do they need to – I mean, when do you consider a quarterback? Do you target the position in free agency, possibly Cam Newton? Or is there a sweet spot in this draft where you say, you know what, maybe this is the time for Pittsburgh to take a quarterback?
They're not going to take Jacob Eason at 50, should he be there. I would consider it. But, I wanted to take Marcus Mariota for the longest time. I love Marcus Mariota more than most people, and I think he played – injured for most of his career, and if the pressure's off and he can sit, I think he can be fine. Jameis, people talked about that in Pittsburgh, and I'm fine with him going to Pittsburgh, but just the intercept. Look, if you got mad at Mason Rudolph for throwing dumb interceptions, what chance does Jameis Winston have? But I don't think they're going to draft anyone at 50. They seem, one, sold on Big Ben being healthy. We'll see. And two, as Mason and Paxton Lynch, who we've sort of forgotten about because we've talked about Duck Hodges, but they did sign Paxton Lynch during the season last year, as the possible number two and number three guys. Yeah, that seems sort of dangerous, but it all starts with Big Ben being healthy.
I mean, the tough part with the Steelers, though, is like you're in this weird window where you do want to try and plan for the future, but you've invested heavily in Mason Rudolph in a previous draft. It doesn't, you know,
Third round pick.
Heavy
investment. He sucked last year, so I think that gives you some indication of how things are going to go.
Well, I mean, that's fine. I mean, it's a sunk cost, but like, are you gonna bail on Mason Rudolph? Like, I guess his rookie contract would be up after this year.
This is year three. He's going.
Don't you feel like if you're the Steelers that you have a little wiggle room to try and find a quarterback maybe in like year two, not next year or the year after? Like, Ben's going to play out his contract.
Yeah, all things go according to the plan, they will. But my point is that this was the year to get a free agent quarterback and get it pretty cheaply. I mean, look at Marcus Mariota's deal. I don't know if the Steelers called anyone. I don't think they did because they seemed to make it clear they were all in on the guys they had. But, dude, sign Marcus Mariota. What does Marcus Mariota sign? A two-year deal? Sign a two-year deal. See what happens.
All right. Fair enough. Let's get out of here. It's a good podcast. Very entertaining. Anything else we need to add? Check out the Mock Draft Mocktacular, 12 noon to 3 Eastern on Monday. You can watch it on CBS Sports HQ, our free 24/7 streaming sports network. You can probably get live clips of it if you didn't see it. Follow us on Twitter. Jay Edwards CBS, is that right, Josh?
Just Edwards CBS now.
CBS fancy. Ryan is 06 R Wilson 1234 _ CBS on Twitter. Easy to find. Very catchy. No, I'm just kidding. He's Ryan Wilson CBS. They have a bunch of great mock drafts coming up, and we have a Brady Quinn football show, the return of Brady Quinn. Hey, I texted Brady and said, will you watch me play Madden and be my offensive coordinator? What do you think Brady's response was?
No.
I'd say that was a generous way of saying that.
He was in. I didn't tell D with this. He was in, but then started to sort of backtrack and like build out excuses to like get away from it. Like he was like, well, I have the radio show here and here. I've got to do HQ here. I got to be in the office to do it. I got to leave kids at home. It was like, I see what you're doing, bro. Like I'll stick Debo on you. You're my OC now, Brady. You're screwed. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging, guys. Thanks for spending your Sunday here. Stay safe. Be kind to your neighbors. For Josh and Ryan and Will, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. We'll see you tomorrow.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.